Blog Talk Radio.
The cards are in line. Shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory. Again and again, again and again. Give him the victory. Oh, the conquering lion shall break every chain. The conquering lion.
Which is the book of Proverbs. And it describes people. And that is this four-letter word. But if you talk to any Christian, when you call him that, he look at you like you crazy. He don't want to be called that. He gets all up in an uproar. But his Bible, dedicated Proverbs 26. You know what that book is called? There's 28 chapters in there. So let's look at some, let's do some mathematically speaking on this shit, Brother Drew. It's the 26th chapter, 6 and 2 is 8. That's 1 degree above perfect. That's two cypress standing on top of each other. The top cypress, which is 360 degrees, stands for Amanyah. The bottom one stands for Abanyah. That is the only time that Amanyah shares with Abanyah is on the number 8. The number 8 is 720 degrees. It's the only number like that. Now, you got 28 verses in there, and 8 and 2 is 10. Who number is that, Brother Drew? You with me? Well,
yes, yeah.
And that's a cypher talking to a perpendicular line. Amanyah is the cypher, which you call an O and R, and your ass is a perpendicular line, 180 degrees, standing at goddamn attention while she talking to your ass, giving you the laws when you first got here, for your ass to come here. That chapter, Brother Drew, is called The Folly of a Fool. The Bible describes what a zip goddamn fool is. But I was told not to use that word fool, that if I use the word deceptic, intelligent, instead of fool, and by using that word, it opens up the door to biological, chemical, psychological warfare that you find in medicine dealing with your mind completely. See, if they're giving you medicine, Brother Drew, and I done had this kind of medicine from the VA hospital, if this medicine give you suicide thoughts, stop using it right away. If this medicine make you start developing breasts as a man, stop using it. Now, my question is, what kind of shit is this that they giving you that make you develop some shit that you ain't got and make you have these goddamn thoughts in your mind? A goddamn fool would know that's psychological warfare. But people don't understand warfare. See, we white folks been had warfare on us from the very beginning of time when they brought their ass out of the Caucasus Mountain, invaded Shem people over in the Eastern Hemisphere, the Benedict tribe. They wrote it down in their history and conquered India. And that's where God got started, the teaching of God. And when we ask ourselves these questions, Brother Drew, the Bible done already told us to look for a fool. And it tells you, it describes a Christian. It doesn't describe any other religion other than a Christian, because point blank says that whoever live up under the grace from the law, you see, we're gonna do a little traveling here. Whoever live up under grace from the law, then you ain't got no law, then that makes your ass an outlaw. You see what I'm talking about, Brother Drew?
If you ain't got no law,
the Christians say, I live under grace from the law, from the moral laws. That's the 613 laws that's in their Bible that Jesus, they Lord and Savior, lived up under. They say he died and they don't have to live up under. But this book say that if you didn't live up under, your ass would be in a certain condition. And the 11th chapter of Leviticus had 47 verses in it. It tell you clean and unclean animals. But the 46th verse, Brother Drew, there we go again. See, the Bible in these goddamn codes, Brother Drew, that's a mother. So, the 46th verse, that's 6 and 4 and 10. It says, this is the law of the beast and of the fowls, and for every living creature that moveth in the water, or every creature that creeps upon it. If you break these laws, you will become the beast of the field. I find that it says to make a difference. That's the 47th verse. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten, makes you a beast of the field. These people say that they live in the grace from that law of unclean animals, because when we go to the 27th verse, I like this one, Brother Drew, Leviticus 11, verse 27, it says, and whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all fours, those are unclean unto you. Whosoever touches their carcass shall be unclean until the eve. He that eat the carcass also, it tell you that. Now, let's ask ourselves a question. What animal goes upon paws? Do you know, Brother Drew?
Cats, dogs, rats, pigs.
And monkeys. And monkeys.
Okay.
Now, the first two, cat and dog, these are two old ancient Egyptian gods, the cat and the dog. I find it very interesting because the dog stands for death in the ancient world. Look at the power of the dog. Now, they got dogs on TV, on every channel, especially channel 4. So pitiful, Brother Drew. I don't know how in the hell they get these dogs to pose like that, not unless they done did some high definite. So pitiful. Dallas has the only in the country blood bank for dogs. If your dog needs some blood, they'll ship it from Dallas. So if you live in Dallas, you're in good shape. They got a dog blood hospital. They got dog parks, dog hospitals, dogs hotels for cats and dogs. And here this book say, don't touch him. And your ass go to Bible study every Wednesday night, and you read your Bible all day long. And you mean to tell me you ain't never stumbled up on that? Just like they'll tell you, Brother Drew, that the only thing that matters is this Bible. This Bible, the only book that you're supposed to read. Yet and still, this Bible refers you to five other different Bibles for you to read, especially the one called the Book of Asher. It says, read what is written in the Book of Asher. It says, tell you that the 2 Samuel. It tell you, read what's written in the book of the walls of Yah. They got Jehovah in there, but that's a translation. Ain't no J's in the language that the 119 Psalms, where the language is. Ain't no J's in that. That's the old ancient language when you take the vows out of it that your son at 12 years old was teaching us old niggas. I liked it in the book where it said that a child would teach you, Brother Drew. And you know for a fact, we learned how to sing the Olivets from a 3-year-old little girl that was Zacane, the elder's youngest daughter. She went but 3 years old. She get in the Knesset every Shabbat, and she was saying, we would be behind her. She would sing, "Ale bait, give me a dolly, hey, why's I created, yeah, call out my mem, Noonshine Island, pick out a suit, a racing thigh." She was 3 years old. She was 3 years old, and she led that every Shabbat for us to say. Took me down there 6 months to learn it. Yeah, and I still didn't learn the language, Brother Drew. You know that. I could not learn the language. It was something that I don't know. It was must not have been meant, because I learned a whole lot. But the language, I was the only one in the Knas that struggled with the language. You see, I was the only one. You know it. You know that for a fact. And Cole get dead in my ass about it. You need to study. You need to study. You study everything else. But I had trouble with that language. I don't know why I have. But I could sing in this language and write songs. I don't have no damn problem with that, Brother Drew. But when it comes to writing it, and like Betty and y'all would address each other, shit, I'm lost. I'm a lost cookie. But when we go over and ask ourselves certain things, Brother Drew, we have got to understand that we have to go back and asked ourselves a whole lot of questions. And because warfare has been placed upon us, and we don't know the book of the walls of Yah, which we should know, then what that makes us is, Shonda came up with a word that she was doing a lecture with the other day, called Casualties of War. Brother Drew, all of us, that's what we are. We are casualties of war, and because we are casualties of war, then if you don't understand by using, see, one of the things in warfare is counterintelligence. That's the first thing they taught me. I already damn know the shit, but when I went through sniper school, they taught me, went through school, and they taught me counterintelligence. But shit, Grandpa had already taught me that shit. I already know the shit. I just learned how white folks do it. But I did it my way. I didn't use their method. Hell no, that shit get your ass killed and no, man. You doing that shit by the book, Brother Drew. That shit get your ass graveyard dead. All them some bitches do it by the book. Your ass wind up dead, and we found the goddamn first lieutenant taking us out on patrol doing it by the book. His ass gets saved.
Right.
See it. So I learned that by doing it. But that ain't, you know, you have to use common sense. Yeah. But we all are casualties of war. And so if we are that, then we don't need to be marching. Marching ain't the answer. And Shonda brought it to my attention that everything starts with a movement. And I realized, Brother Drew, Martin Luther King started the protest and shit, him and Jesse Jackson. But Elijah Muhammad, Dr. Yalk, Ben Amin, these cats, they had a movement. And we don't have that no more. We don't have nobody that'll produce a leader, somebody talking about a movement. The only person that's talking about it is Farrakhan, and he's been talking about it so long that ain't nobody listening. you know, because, I mean, if they'd have been listening to Elijah Muhammad, then Christians' asses wouldn't be in the shape they're in now. They wouldn't be having type 2 diabetes. They wouldn't be having the heart condition. if they'd have listened to him in 1932, because your children, you men, you can let's break it down. We can look. We can start in 1932, and we can look at the Muslims that's dying from this versus what the black Christians is. They hardly ever have Muslim funerals. One time Elijah Muhammad said he hadn't preached a funeral in so long, he was wondering, was Muslim dying? He said that on the tape. And you can see in 2017 who died. And you can see that this type 2 diabetes and heart trouble, and these damn children is being born that way, Brother Drew. They ain't waiting till they come here to eat some shit to start get that condition. They come here with the condition because it's hereditary genetic traits. It done got off into the gene pool right now. And when it get off into the gene pool like that, you'll catch it to your wall. Shit, you ain't no help for your ass.
Right.
Because here, your child born with cancer. I see all the children on the TV, the children hospital, where you got all these children with all of these diseases. That's hereditary. And see, the science of eugenics, what black folks got, to, if you're using counterintelligence, you got to know about science of eugenics. In your study, in your to understand what done happened to you up under this biological, chemical, psychological warfare that's been put up on your ass. And then they give you medicine to help it make your mind complete with the shit. See, I mean, when they come out and can say that the XY millennium generation, 85% of these people that's born after 1960, 85% of them is suffering from a mental condition and on mind control and drugs. 85%. 45% of their toddlers is suffering from the same goddamn element, Brother Drew. Well, a toddler is from 0 to 5 years old. That's a toddler, from 0 to 5 years old. If your toddler got a mental condition from 0 to 5 years old, when he gets 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, he'll kill your ass. Because he got a mental condition. And you wonder why the children is out of it? Look at them. And that come from what? Looking at television, what they see. We was going down to Quetta about 3 weeks ago, and this fool was in that shopping center, came out from behind Catfish Floyd in a car, shooting at a guy running. He ain't hit the guy yet, but he's shooting with all everybody out there looking. He go get park his car in the middle of the road, Brother Drew, jump out and start running. And then the police comes up. I didn't know nothing about that, but who I was with told me that he was only acting out some kind of damn game that they done seen on TV. Because if you notice, everything monkey see, monkey do. And see, the baddest thing in the world, Brother Drew, is a lone mind sitting in a room with these mental conditions, and then he go berserk. You know, he go berserk. Here his mind go stone crazy. Just like that dude in that 18-wheeler yesterday. You see that, Brother Drew?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he come in. You said you had someone on the line?
Yeah, you told me to open that 773 line. That's open.
Yeah. Are you there, 773?
Yes, I am. I'm here, 773, Chicago's area code online. 1212, checking the mic. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. You wanted to speak? You got an input that you want to do?
Absolutely. My name is Shonda, and I just wanted to comment on a few of the things that you just spoke about. One, I want to start with that they're playing out the Grand Theft Auto. That is a video game that many of our children have played in, and Grand Theft Auto is a really outrageous game because it's no determination as to what's the next move. The guy might park like that young guy did, drive his car in the middle of the street, jump out, get out, start shooting people, start punching people, running up the road, jumping on top of cars. And all across the country, you are seeing this type of behavioral action being played out. Now, that means that took me to what you were talking about the casualty of war. Well, if there's a casualty of war, that means that there is the booty of the war. You know, where that come from? What is that aspect of looking at the war? Because the spoils of war also exist in the communities all across this country, actually all across this world. But there are some simple solutions. Elijah Muhammad did offer us a very, very good solution. He gave us a program. And one of the things that I know, as all of those leaders that you talked about, Dr. York, and Elijah Muhammad, and those who came in, and Ben Amin, those who came in that past, one of the things is that they had a program and they had a movement, and it was clear about the behavioral actions that people needed to take. Well, if you are freestyle African American, which means that you probably, the high probability is that you are a Christian, then what is the program of a Christian? What is their economic program? What is their food program? You know, these are things that are missing. And so you cannot lift up anybody if they do not have a clear program. And after being given Christianity, look back for 500 years, we just have to ask one question. Where are the solutions? Have it solved some basic issues that we have? Done studying under that, and not only Christianity, but I say all religions, because they're all the same. They all came from the same existence, and you can see that in their birthmarks that they leave. Each one of them have a birthmark, just like in most of us, we have a birthmark. Everything is marked by its birth. So if you go back and look at the birthmark that these religions that have been given to us, and we can really see that as a real clear nation of people, we have not been able to benefit from them. Now, for me, Dwight, you said something which gave me even more clarity on the age group, and I don't know why I know that a damn toddler is 0 to 5 years old, but because you said that, it gave me clear, because at first I was, my words was that my concentration as a grandmother is for the young and the unborn, but now, even to make it more crystal clear, saying that now it's the toddler, because for me, I don't want to educate a fool. It's very hard to educate. Re-education is very hard. That's why that word re is in there. You got to do over again. And in order for you to really be successful at doing over stuff, your head has to be empty. And most people are not calm enough, because they don't have control of their bodies and their minds because of the things that they eat, how they program their minds through the media, and how they carry their behavioral physical body. All of these things will not allow a lot of these people who need re-educating. Many of them can't even sit down for 5 minutes in complete silence without moving anything on their body and allowing only maybe just closing their eyes. Can't even do 5 minutes. And if you can't do 5 minutes, that means that you are completely out of touch with your own physical being. You have no idea what the ship it is that we're in and how it functions on any degree. If you can't even do 5 minutes of concentrated effort with yourself. For me, it's two things that I see as a solution. One is to concentrate on the toddlers and the unborn, because we can create a program for them. We can put them in our institutions, and that's where you raise people up in institutions, which is why we send them to school, because they're institutions. You have to teach people through an institutionalized behavior. And next, the other part of that solution is the so-called black people, the African-American, all of the people of color around this world, and those people who really truly want to have peace and believe in the injustices that are being done to colored people, and particularly in this country, there's one solution that people can wrap themselves around. It has such a wonderful effect if we just only could concentrate on it. And I'm grateful to be able to say this solution, and that solution is to eliminate pork and all of its byproducts. Why am I saying this? Because, number one, without the pig, you cannot make a goddamn bullet. So if you want to stop the bullets, then you have to stop something. The only way to stop anything is you have to plug it up. That's simple. And if you want to really stop something, then you have to stop eating pork. It has major ramifications upon us as colored people. Dwyer already spoke about that. The other thing is that now you can take the gun. Why? Because you can kill this particular resource. You stop this resource up, and I know that for the sure is my breath is in me right now. It won't take a whole lot of people. It just take a few millions of people around the world to make a concentrated effort not to eat pork and its byproducts. It's 185 or maybe even 200 things that pork is used for. It would make a phenomenal effect upon the entire world if we would just stop eating one animal, if we stop supporting all of the animal's byproducts and ingredients. And if no other reason is that because they cannot make a bullet unless they have the pig. And so I wanted to bring that demonstration and share it today publicly, because we have solution, but do you have enough courage in your bones to live with the solutions? And that's what I wanted to share with you, Brother Dwyer.
Okay. Well, we have feminine energy on fire, Brother Drew.
Yes, we do.
It's always nice to have feminine energy. It becomes balanced. Everything is balanced feminine energy. And feminine energy you can see. Male energy you can't see. So we think you have to let the female express yourself, because what I noticed, Brother Drew, is the teaching that we got, Brother Drew, we had big mamas, big daddies, and we had mama and daddy. Most of us that's been on earth 5, 6, 7, and 8, especially if you've been on the earth 7, 8, 9 days and 6 days or 5 days, you had Big Mama, and Big Mama raised you and whooped your ass. You had that kind of raising. But people born after 1960, they don't have that in their background. To the point, Brother Drew, a young lady came up and asked about Shonda's hair, and then she said that Shonda told her she platted. She didn't know what platting was. She's 22 years old. She didn't know what platting was. She didn't know platting was braiding. And I find that just simply. And I was playing chess the other day, and Leon came in and he said, "Meatball, you want some Googles?" I say, "No, I don't want no Googles." And two of the young guys say, "What is Googles?" They didn't know that was a peanut. You know, I mean, Brother Drew is, if when we look at shit real deep, we can see that the people born after 1960, that's me and your children, Brother Drew.
Right.
That's our children. And then, just like your child, I'm just down up under the stairs from me, they got children. You got grandbabies. And in some cases, some of us got great-grandbabies. Well, these kids didn't have the luxury of learning what we're learning, and they come from another era of time, and if they ain't taught, the knowledge will be forgotten. Well, your history will be forgotten. And I believe 40 years from now, all our history back here will be forgotten. It's on a collision course for that. You can see it, I mean, if you use common sense. If you use common sense, you'll know that when a mind get 12 years old, you can't teach it no more. And if you let a mind get 7 years old, then it's hard to break him from what he done learned the first 6 years. You follow me, Brother Drew?
Yes, sir.
So that training has to start in the womb, really. But if you can't catch that child by 7 years old, you done lost him. He's casualty of war. And when you say an institution, that triggers something in me, that word institution. I ask myself a question, how do white people do it? They take us into an institution that we don't know anything about it, and they say, this is our school system, and you're going to start at 6 years old, you're going to be in the first grade. And we're going to teach you out of these books. Ain't none of us examined these books to see if these books was correct or had deceptive intelligence or nothing. We just accepted it. Now, look how they do it, Brother Drew. They say that if they teach you for 12 years and you get a diploma in this teaching, then it would make you a good American. You understand everything by the age of 18 years old. Everything about America. What it stands for, what it God is, its holidays, its language, its everything about America. You would be able, after 12 years of finishing this curriculum, these courses, to go out in America and work as a laborer and be able to get along. If you want to get higher paying jobs and recognition in the community, you have to go to another institution of ours that's called a college. Spend 4 years there, 4 to 5 years there, and we give you either a BA or a BS. And we tell you then, if you want to make a little more money, go get your master's degree. And what they don't tell you is that you got an adjective on your degree. I don't give a damn if you graduated from a white college. Now, you used to couldn't go to the white college. You got an adjective on your degree. You have a black degree. And if you got a black degree from a black college, you got a third-class degree because you didn't get it from a white college. And I've been told this in 1970 when they just started immigration. See, I've been victimized on this. I was told this by a white boy that was over me. He was superintendent at Alcoa when I was working at Alcoa as a warehouse manager. He told me that it would look good on my record if I took me some courses, just a few of them, Dave, just a few of them, maybe one or two from a white college. He said, that would look good on your resume. He said, from your Navy, your 214 and this what you got here, and your studies and stuff, this would look good. It would help you advance in Alcoa. He told me that.
Dwyer.
Yes.
Now, there is a school, a female black school, that is looked upon and is given high prestige. What black female school was that?
Spelman.
Yes,
Spelman. When we go, Brother Drew, you know our list that we got of the Council of Foreign Relations, Bilderbergs, and the Trilateral of what they own in America, that list. Well, you know, when we were studying that list, we found that we walked up on this 20-some years ago. On that list, it wasn't but one black institution or anything on there was Spelman. And so when we first thing came out of Cole said, that's a black female college. He said, these son of a bitches, they own Spelman College is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. And that's where all the top females came from. That's you, Cundy, and all of the ones. So you can see where they program the black female. You know, it goes all the way back. We know the history of promoting the black female, but this you see.
I guess it's in the name too, Brother DeWater Spell.
Oh shit! Well, there you
yes.
go, brother. You got the word spell man. He put the ass. I had seen that, Brother Drew. I had see y'all remember the teaching, because sometimes I forget about to analyze everything that you see other things in the word. You know why they named this Spellman.
And what kind of college do it really mostly concentrate on? Because a lot of the females that come out of their college are some way, shape, form, or fashion connected either with the government or either with a politician.
Yeah, I'm not hip to Spelman.
I'm just going to have to find out about that aspect of it. But, yeah, when you said Spelman, that made and Drew, what you just said made me come back to Harry Potter, although a lot of, you know, people don't really get the real significance of Harry Potter. There was a school, and there was a thought process of magic that they practiced there, and that was it. That was what they practiced every single day. So every school has a focus that they focus on. Is it a school of science, school of art, school, you know, whatever school it is. So whatever it is, we know that their concentration, and when those people come out of there, they could not, based on the name of the school and who runs the school and what they want the people to come be out of those schools. I can't name no revolutionary sister that I know came out of Spelman. And so it's got to be some deep things that's going in it. And I'm not saying that everybody falls under the same category, but birds of a feather do flock together.
I mean, this is like they got they colleges for special people. Like they got even they bring high school, certain high schools they bring if a kid is real good in math and stuff. Well, the government will have to get a hold to them because they don't want somebody else getting a hold to them. I mean, they was practicing that when I was in the military. I mean, if a kid showed where, like a kid can always, certain teenagers hacking in and all of that stuff, they put him on a government program, bring him, put his butt, lock his butt up underground, going to a college there and shit. They don't let him get out because he'll be a threat to national security if he become a spy for other countries. And
you have a really good example of that in the movie that just recently came out, was it this year, or Hidden Figures, about the black females who were very prominent with NASA and the Mayans. But they have been tracking these children because the movie showed you how intelligent this one key was. It the one that was Catherine, I think that was her name, how high her intellect was. And that, you know, she had went to a special school and they brought her in even when she was young. So there's no doubt, and I can bear witness to that as to my son, my youngest son, he got out of school. The colleges were recruiting him so diligently until he even received a letter from the governor about going to college. And, you know, it was really interesting. He wasn't even interested in going to college, which was, you know, he was kind of a different thought process of knowledge. But absolutely, they go after the children the moment. No different with the athletes, how they start targeting these young children when they're in elementary school and courting the families. It's the same. But you know what? It's real shameful because we are still allowing other people to control our destiny. We are still allowing other people to come in and shape the paradigm of what our future generations are going to look like. And I really think that it is because that we have fear. We have so much fear in us, and mostly that fear is built in the word death. That, you know, the death is the biggest, I roll with death. Let me just tell you like that. Me and death, we cool. Why? Because death has been the victor over everybody. The death has been the victor over Muhammad. The death has been the victor over Jesus, Buddha, everyone. Death is the one. And I think that many of us are so afraid of what we absolutely know is going to come, and I think that our fear is wrapped up in because you don't know when, you don't know how, you don't want to be disgraced by the type of death you leave out of here with. You want to die a certain type of way. Everybody want to die in their sleep. Everybody wants to dictate how they die, and our asses don't have no control over that. So that fear right there, I think it keeps us in our footsteps and does not allow us, oh, no, those people will kill you if you go do that. Oh, no. You know, I mean, my damn, I mean, I have no, in my mind, maybe because of the evolution of the urban area of which I have come from and the thought process I come from, but we all going to face death. We should know, I mean, today, hey, Geronimo, it's a good day to live, and it's a good day to die. So, I mean, death right there, Dwyer, that death, that's my friend right there.
Yeah, well, you know, I put it like this here, that I don't give a, if we look at all these gods that came from the east to the west, and not the people over here. We're talking about these gods that came over here. Well, each one of the cultures, which they call it their mythology, they had a god of death. Everybody was scared of this god of death, but I noticed something. This god called death, he the baddest motherfucker on earth because he done killed all the gods. It ain't a god that the god death ain't kill your ass. That's the reason my daddy taught me about death. Daddy said, death? Shit, hell, I'm already dead. God damn it, didn't you know that? He said, daddy would say, niggas, you would ask daddy, of course, daddy tell you, so nigga, I know who you are. He said, you the nigga that's waiting on your turn to go underground and won't see you no more. If we go in the Bible clearly tell you about don't worship and celebrate death. First thing Christians doing, he's celebrating death. The Bible tell you to rejoice when someone died. And you, see, this is how you can tell that you got deceptive intelligence and that you believe like the white race of people is that you believe totally opposite of what the black ancient people taught. Death and sex wasn't a problem to the ancient. Walking around butt naked wasn't a problem to the ancient. That wasn't a problem to our ancient ancestors. Death wasn't a problem. We didn't have that problem in our society. Only when Christianity came and these Christians conquered the black race of people, the colored race of people, I put it like that. Black is not a color, but the colored race of people, starting with the Eastern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere, and then they came across the water over here to the Western Hemisphere. This is 2017. Everything that everybody done is written. The Jews done wrote it down. The chosen people of God, the Zionist Jew, that group of people, done wrote everybody's history down that came from the east to the west.
Hey, Dwyer?
Yeah.
Hey, I want to just tell you something. It's a little quick little story. And this story is the priest came into the Indian reservation, and he started, ministering to the people over there and telling them about their faults and that they were savages and that, you know, that they were going to go to hell. And he started giving them all the commandments that they had to live by. And so him and the chief had an opportunity to sit down and talk about what he had shared with them. And so the chief asked him the question. He said, what would happen if we didn't know about none of this? And so the priest said, nothing. He said, well, why did you tell me?
Right.
It's about the mind. If you put it in the mind, you planted the seed. And that is what has happened, is that we seeds have been planted into the mind. And had, you know, just to explain it, I may have not delivered it very well, y'all, but the fact is that they didn't know anything about it. So if we raise our children back to the unborn and the toddlers in a school of thought that is conducive to the next 7 to 10 generations, then we'll be planting our seeds, because back to the re-education is very, very difficult. Now, there may be some people that have a strategy, and I've seen that Elijah Muhammad program had a strategy, Dr. York, but they had programs and systems in place. If you're marching, then what's the end of the program? What are you asking the people to do? Because and that's another problem. We think that the government controls. That's because the government has planted it in our mind that they control. You know, they make the decision. They make the laws and policies. But they can't do anything without the aspect and the permission of the people. So you keep the people's mind dead, and you can control infiltration. I'm sure you got a whole bunch of words that you can say about the control. You talked about that, about the warfare of the mind and how the mind has been infiltrated with so much control over it. So how can I compete? I can't compete with that. I can't compete with all of those crazy-ass children in Chicago killing themselves. Yes, they are crazy, because if they were in their right mind, they would not be killing each other like that. These are brothers. These are sisters. They see each other in the neighborhood. They live around the corner from each other, and that's a crazy mindset. So how about that? You're going out there to help them. No, help the ones who cannot help themselves, and you will spend your energy in a higher degree. Thank you, Dwyer, for allowing me to share with you today.
Hold on a minute. Tell us about that hood up there, because you're from Chicago and you were born and raised in where the problem is. Tell us what's going on, really.
Well, Chicago is like no different than any other war. It's about the land. It is not about the people. A quick demonstration of the land war there, when they went to the Cabrini Greens and all of the projects, the jets and up and everything, they tore them down. Because why? They said that the people there were violent. The people were killing each other, right? All of these things were going on in the jets, all of those. So they tore those down and moved those people to the suburbs. So now those people are in the suburbs, so they're not the problem anymore. But what's on that land? On that land is high expensive real estate, really wonderful homes that look almost like the brownstones. They're kind of going back with that design. The houses over there start at $200,000, $300,000, even up to $2 and $3 million. In the same land that they took from the people who were in the projects. Why? Because they were killing each other. People who lived in the projects that did not even have money was killing each other with guns that cost more than the rent that the people had to pay in the project. So now let's talk about what's going on right now. I'll paint that picture to show you the land. The land that is predominantly warring with one another is mostly two places in Chicago. It is Englewood and the Garfield-Lawndale area, which is where I'm from. The Garfield-Lawndale area used to be the area that was the biggest heroin trafficked area in the country. That was that history, and still is that history in that area. Right now, that area is under a major surge of being taken over. And so they have them in a very concentrated area right now. The houses, my family house is in that area. My family bought that house. I think it was about $25,000 they paid for the house. Okay, right now the damn house looks still like it's in terrible shape. But the appraisal value at that right now with that house in the shape that it is nearly $100,000 in its present state because of the land. They have the people in Englewood. Here's the key, a cue to all of those in the neighborhood. There's a Whole Foods in the neighborhood now in Englewood. So they're taking over the land. In addition to that, I know people who have shared with me stories of people who went to the police department. They say that they drop bags of guns. Now, this is completely hearsay. I haven't seen this, nor have I testified. I couldn't say this for sure because I haven't seen it. But the other information I bear witness to 100%. Because I was there, I walked the lands, I know it to be true. They say they drop bags of guns in the alleys, and this is how the guns are getting into the neighborhood. Now, don't tell me you don't know how stuff get in our neighborhood. We may not see it, so they call it a conspiracy theory, but we do know that crack came in the neighborhood. We do know that heroin came in the neighborhood. So we know these things get in there. We may not know the area of which they come in. And so it is with a gun. A little boy who was 17 years old cannot even pay his grandmother's rent, but yet he can afford to buy AKA. Come on, y'all. We don't have to be insulted by this intelligence. I'm mad just not because of what those fools doing. I'm mad because they insult my intelligence. to think that I believe that a 17-year-old can afford to get a gun when his ass can't even afford to take a train ride on the south side of Chicago because he can't afford a round trip of $5. Come on, you know what I'm saying? So it is about the land, and I saw with my own eyes last year how the land is being taken over square by square in the city of Chicago, and there are going to be more casualties of wars because it's still more land to build on in Chicago, meaning building on the land that exists, and they need the people out of the land. And by the way, the same children that was causing hell in the suburbs, I mean in the Jets, they live in the suburbs now. They go to work. They ain't shooting and killing each other up in the suburbs. They got jobs. There's a few of them a problem, but by the enormous numbers that they said that these children was pitiful and all of this, moved them out of the city, took the land, gave them opportunity, they get opportunity to go. They ain't doing all that shit. So you think for yourself.
Well, we done heard it firsthand, ain't we, Brother Drew?
Yes, sir.
We heard it firsthand from somebody that lives in Chicago, just got back from Chicago, been to go back to Chicago. So, you know, it's just amazing what we're going through. So, until next week, I'll say Yah Shalom.